Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gaumond, and welcome to It's Wednesday. So I thought I'd carry over from what we were talking about on Monday, because I love this subject. Well, I'd like to talk about past lives, and I have some articles on past lives, or, you know, reincarnation, and that's one of my favorite subjects. I don't know why. Well, partly because when I started studying hypnotherapy and became a hypnotherapist many, many years ago, I delved into that, and I've been regressed a couple times, which is really cool stuff. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. Plus, I love to get messages from dead people, you know, your ancestors, what they have to say, because you got all these problems and questions and concerns. But the cool thing about it is that your ancestors have all the answers. Well, some of them. They'll point you in the right direction. And so that's what I like to do. So we'll do that, and okay, I'm getting something pestering me here right now. So what are we going to do? Okay, so I was going to talk a little bit about psychic, and then I want my spirit guides to talk to you, and then we'll talk about reincarnation, past lives, and we'll get into it. Now, I asked people on Monday, do you have any past life stories, or would you like to visit your past lives? Ooh, see how they impact you now. So I do past life readings, and I've validated that the readings I give are pretty close to what I do a regression with somebody. So the readings are really kind of right on, spot on to when I regress somebody through a past life and see and explore. But why should you do it? And then we'll let my spirit guides talk to you for a couple of minutes, because they wanted to talk to you about what's going on in the world today a little bit. So why should you do it? Why should you review a past life? Well, because you have relationships with people now. And sometimes you don't understand the nature of that relationship. Like, why don't we get along now? Or what is the problem we're having now? And so going and looking at a past life helps you to understand your relationship. And we'll use the word karma here, but it's a little different than that. It's not exactly karma. It's more about agreements that you made to work out some things between people when you come into a new lifetime. So that's what we're talking about. Not necessarily big. Well, yeah, karma, kind of, sort of, yeah, but not exactly. Okay. So that's what we're talking. That's one of the reasons. And you know what? Sometimes you have physical things in your life now that are kind of like, really? Wow, where did that come from? Why do I have this back pain that, you know, I can never have diagnosed? Why is this thing going on in my life? Well, a lot of times it's a past life. Now, just giving you a reading doesn't always help you to relieve that or deal with it, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it's better to be regressed there. So I offer that too. So if you want to contact me for a regression, we can do it on Skype. Actually, I've done it over the phone, which was a little more difficult, but I usually can do that with people who meditate a lot and who have been regressed or have done meditation before, where they've been led on a journey. But I do it through Skype or Facebook, you know, video, which is kind of cool too. Or even, I guess, Google has a thing that you can do that with. So any kind of video program will do that if you're interested in a past life regression. So the prices are approximately the same. And if you're interested, I'll give you the price. It's approximately the same, because the session's generally about an hour. So, you know, I have a special. For about an hour, $75. That works out about the same as I've listed there for the $1.20 a minute, roughly. Okay, so if you're interested, and it can actually do a lot of good. So I have a caller, but now I'll take the call, but I really want to jump into what my spirit guides have to say about what's going on in the world today. and then we'll get more into talking to dead people. If you want to talk to some dead people, get some information from your ancestors. I'll try to get names. I've been making a point of trying to get names from your ancestors if I can. Sometimes I don't, and yeah, it's my own thing, right? My own thing. Okay, we'll do that. I got a caller, and then we'll get into some articles. We'll let my spirit guides talk to you. And if you're interested, we'll talk more about your past lives, because that's one of my favorite things to do. You know, it's like, well, I got favorite things to do, right? Yes. So let me take a call. 650.
Hey, good afternoon, George. Thank you for taking
Hello.
My call. My name is Miranda. Hi.
Miranda?
Yes, it is. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How is Miranda today?
I'm doing pretty good. I was wondering if any of my ancestors could come forward to help give me some advice on a home I'm looking to purchase. I'm getting like confused messages. Like I don't know. I don't know where I'm. Well, I've called in a couple of readers, like psychic readers, and they keep telling me I'm supposed to live near water, and where I am, where I want it is to be, there's no water. So I'm wondering, like, okay.
Well, then you have to go with your own gut feeling, don't you?
Yeah, but I feel like. If spirit wants me to be somewhere, if I'm meant to be somewhere else, which is for my greater good, I want to be open
it.
So I'm really like, I'm hoping for
confused.
Some clarification.
You're confused.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So let's see who male energy, father side of the family feels like father side of the family. Male energy, father side of the family. About. Two generations back? No, I get three. So what is that? A great-great-great-grandfather or something like that? That kind of energy? Okay. I guess that would be three generations. Your father would be one, your grandfather or so would be two, and great-grandfather would be three. So great-grandfather. Okay, so what does he have to say to you about moving? Okay, this is funny. I'll give it to you exactly how to. It doesn't matter where you go as long as you feel happy about doing it. So it's about really about how you feel about it. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I had to stop something from. I didn't know my phone was there. Okay, let me go back. So it was great-great-grandfather. It doesn't matter where you go as long as you're happy and it feels right to you. People are pointing you in directions where they feel you might feel good about it. It would work for you at some level. But where the location you have kind of pointed your heart at already is the place to go. Does that make sense to you at all?
Okay. So I guess I should stick with my first instinct. Of where I want to be.
To where your heart wants you to go. Okay? That's what I get.
That's what he's telling you to do.
It doesn't matter where you go as long as you're happy, but the happiness is the most important part of it. So if you move someplace that you're unhappy, then that's not going to work. You got to feel...
Right.
What's he saying? You have your own internal guidance system, and your own internal guidance system will direct you to a place where you're being called to. Does that make sense? It's like the siren's call. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so go with that.
Huh.
Go with that. Don't worry about the water. You can always get a swimming pool.
Okay. Oh, yeah, like I said, you know, I had a set place in mind, but then these readers, like, they all were saying the same thing, and I was like, okay, am I meant to be near the water? So, like, it's really weird, you know, when everyone's saying the same thing, it makes you kind of think,
let me see if I can tap into why they would tell you to be by the water, okay, versus...
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah. Versus land where I am. Yeah.
Water is very soothing for you. It's very comfortable for you. Being by water or near water is something that's refreshing for you. It helps you to lift your spirits and helps you to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you have to live there. It just means that you have to be by it from time to time. It just means that you go to water when you're feeling troubled. It just means you go to water just to find an escape from whatever is going on. So visiting water is just as good as living at water, as long as you make the effort to visit from time to time. But it doesn't have to be the ocean. It can be a lake. It can be a river. It could be a pond. It's whatever. It's just being close to a larger body of water that works for you. So you just go where you're going to go, and then find a path to visit water. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
You can have both worlds. You can have both worlds is what they're telling you. Does that make sense?
Okay. No, both will, unless I put in a water structure, I guess, maybe a fountain.
Well, were you out in the middle of the desert?
No, I'm not in the desert at all, but I'm not near any water either.
What, miles away? Hundreds of miles? Thousands of miles?
Well, no, not hundreds of miles. I'm not too far. I mean, if I could get in a car and
yeah, well, that's what they're
water.
Trying to tell. That's what
yeah.
they're trying to tell you. You can
yeah.
go visit for a few hours. You don't have to
right.
live there. You can go take off for the day and go, I need to put my feet in water. Okay.
Understood.
That's all they're trying
that
to tell you
sense.
Is, yeah, it's good for your soul, but it's not something mm-hmm. you have to live at. It's something you can visit from time to time. Will help mm-hmm. you to feel better, just putting your feet in the water, relaxing, and then going home.
It sounds nice. Yeah, I resonate. I understand that message. Well, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate the clarification. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take care. Okay.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, I'm back. I'm just like, that was kind of an interesting thing. Now, why do psychics do that? Well, because we do that. We tell people to move certain places and we see things. And I'm assuming from what she was telling me, and I'm not putting down anybody that does psychic readings and what they see is water, is they see that water is very comforting for her. Water is really good for her soul. Water is someplace that she could be at and enjoy. But it doesn't mean she has to live there? Not necessarily. I mean, if she could, fine. But it's more about her visiting water and spending some time there. And it's kind of like the getaway for her. You know, I live about 30 miles from the ocean, and I love the ocean. So if I can go from time to time, not that I'm going to move there because, well, I did live near the ocean. But it's gotten to be very expensive in Southern California to live near the water. Yeah. Because, like, everybody wants to be close to the ocean because it's cooler, the weather is nicer. So you know, it's an individual thing. You have to, you know, as her great-great-grandfather said, you know, follow that internal guidance system that you have. That follow that. Where does that leading you? Where does it feel good? You know, like you said, being happy is really the most important place. Where would you be happy? Now, if she decides that living near the water is where she can feel really happy, then that's where she'd go, right? Okay, we're gonna talk about past lives. If anybody wants to learn more about a past life that they have, you wanna get a message from one of your ancestors, that would be cool. And what else? Oh, so I was gonna let my spirit guides talk to you about. I think they want to talk about what's going on in the world today, and I think. I don't know. Maybe they'll change the theme. I never know. That Sarah is my spirit group, the group of spirit teachers and masters that come in and out of the group and talk to you about various subjects. That's who is helping, well, giving me the information for the book I'm writing. And I was just writing about happiness as one chapter in the book about how to maintain your happiness. But we won't get into that unless they want to talk about that. I'm not sure what they want to talk about. Okay, so I'm going to go away. Now, how this works is I go under, and I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm actually a natural channel. I knew at an early age that was kind of weird that way. You know, I would be telling people things and I'm going, where did that come from? That's not me. You know, I'm going to go under and I go into a light trance. I kind of observe what's going on. It's like I'm almost in the other room while they're talking. Oh, that's kind of a weird way of putting it, but that's kind of how the sensation is, that I'm observing the conversation, but not instigating the conversation. Okay, so here I go. Observing is a nice way of putting it. Yes, you are observing. You're listening to us, and we take over your vocal cords. We take over, well, the process. I guess it's a good way of describing it. We use your vocabulary, and sometimes we introduce new words into your vocabulary, but most of the time we're using some of your knowledge, some of your information, and reformatting it in a way so that we can present what we want to present to people who might be listening to what we're presenting. So as George mentioned, this is Sarah. We're a group of spiritual teachers. We have various ones that come in and out of the group. Some have lived upon the earth. Some haven't lived upon your earth. Some have dwelled only in a spiritual environment, or spirit environment, we should say. So what's our topic today? He was writing about happiness and maintaining your happiness, and we've kind of give him the words and the ideas to write about. Now, he was thinking about, we would talk about what's going on in your country, in the United States, and all the violence and the racism and the anger and the hatred. But you know what? We've talked about that. So we don't want to go into a negative thing. We don't want to dwell on the negative in your society. We want to spend some time on the positive. We want to spend some time on the reverse of all that. We want to spend some time with you on love, joy, peace. Those three words. First of all, it starts with love, loving yourself. Purely loving yourself, loving who you are. Now, that's really accepting yourself, isn't it? It's learning to accept yourself, learning to accept your limitations, learning to accept who you are as a person, learning to accept and understand your gifts and talents, applying those gifts and talents that you have, your education, and learning just to love yourself. That's the primary thing in your life, is to just accepting who you are and where you're at and where you're going. And just find joy every day in what you do and what you say to others. You want to change the world. You want to make it a different place. You want to overcome the racism and the xenophobia and all of these other prejudices that people have towards each other. Well, it starts with you. It starts with just loving yourself. Just love. Just extending love. You know, George was reading about the violence that took place in Virginia, and he was reading about how there's two groups of people, and we weren't going to delve too much into this, opposing each other, and both were using a level of violence. We're not justifying one over the other, and we're not saying that one group wasn't really a lot worse in their prejudice and what they wanted to accomplish, and that the other group didn't have, and then the other group had more of a moral outlook on what they wanted to achieve. They wanted to achieve a more unified society where there's more peace within society. Okay, but you don't use violence to do that. You don't resist violence with violence. Your society doesn't work well when you start to resist violence with violence. You resist violence with peace. You resist violence with love. You resist violence with education, with knowledge, with wisdom. You show a better way. You set a better example. To drop to the level of violence of one group to prove a point is not really proving the point. It's just using violence against violence. Now, we understand, and you're going to disagree with us on this point, and you're going to say, well, we have to resist violence in this world. you have to defend yourselves. Obviously, we agree with you that you need to defend yourself. But do you have to be an instigator of violence? Do you have to be a creator of violence? Do you have to go into a situation with the intent of instigating and creating violence? No. You go in with the intent of love. You go in with the intent of peace. You would go in with the intent of knowledge and understanding. Using physical violence and verbal violence will not solve your problem. Now, what we mean by that is when you're approaching someone who has a violent tendency and a tendency towards hatred and prejudice, approaching them with similar kind of language that they use in hateful words and verbiage does not solve the problem. It just stirs up the problem even more. You approach them with verbiage that is peaceful, that is based on love, that is based on joy, that's based on wisdom, it's based on knowledge, it's based on the positivity in the world. You want to change somebody. Change them with love. If you want to change somebody, show them a better way, a different way to deal with the issues that they're concerned with. You can't face a mob and beat back a mob without retaliation from the mob. But you can speak to the individuals. You can speak to them and pull them out and show them a different example in a different way. We weren't going to go too much into this, but we can sense in your society how you react to violence is with violence. In the long run, if you look at societies, you look at the world, has that ever really solved any problems? Is that really ever diminished violence in your world? You have a violent world because violence is met with violence, always. But when you meet violence and the threat of violence with peaceful means, with love, with joy, with knowledge. And we emphasize the word knowledge here because it's really important to show the violent perpetrators that your job is not to get them to present violence. Now, we'll go back to what we said before. You have to defend yourself. You need to defend yourself. And if people don't want to listen to you or not willing to adjust their attitudes and their points of view, then you still need to defend yourself, don't you? We'll give you that. We'll say that the last resort in any situation, in any place when you're confronting violent actions and violent tendencies, the last thing you do is resist with violence. But the first thing you do is with knowledge, with wisdom, with love, with understanding, with empathy, with appreciation. You use those high vibrational emotions in situations, you can minimize the violence. You can bring the violence down. If you look at the peace movements in your world, you look at the nonviolent movements to change the world and how they flowed and how they happened and how that made an impact on your society. And what it does to society too, and we're going to go for this one point, which is really important here. When one side resists the other side with love, with wisdom, with knowledge, with appreciation, with joy, it really amplifies other people who are observing where the problem is, where the negativity is, where the violent tendencies are. And if people are a tendency to judge a situation, they will judge those who perpetrators of violence versus those who resist violence with peaceful means. And society as a whole will rebuke those violent people. Takes time. It's not overnight. But if you look in your societies, those who resist violence with peaceful means are proven to win out in the long run, while those who continue to perpetrate violence are generally and almost always rebuked by society because they are shown for who you are. So if you react violence against violence, you're putting yourself in that same category. And it doesn't differentiate yourself from the violence. And people can look at you and judge you as harshly as they judge those who are violent. We wouldn't want to delve too deeply into this, but what we're saying is that happiness is the most important thing. Maintaining your personal happiness, maintaining your level of joy, maintaining your level of peace in whatever situation you're in. In whatever part of your life that you have to face difficulty, maintaining that high level and high vibrational place. So if we were in your shoes and we were in a very stressful situation, we were facing people or situations that have a tendency to be very violent. First of all, we would avoid being in that situation whenever possible. We would avoid that physical confrontation whenever possible. We would defend ourselves, but we would avoid the physical confrontation because that's not going to resolve the issue. Okay? But presenting peace, presenting joy, presenting wisdom, presenting knowledge from a peaceful way can, let's say, use the words, shout down the violence. You can shout down the violence in peaceful ways. And we would say that try that. Do that. If you're going to protest, and the word protest itself has a violent tendency or word, when you're going to show a different way of handling a situation, when you're going to show love, when you're going to show unity, when you're going to show diversity, when you're going to show oneness of people on the planet, do it in a peaceful way. Do it in a loving way. You'll see a difference. You really separate yourself. You really isolate the violent people. You will really put the spotlight on their violence. But as we said, and we won't delve too much into this, but if you put yourself in the same category as them in violent reacting, either verbally or physically, violently reacting to their violence, you put yourself in that same situation, that same judgment, if we use that word there. So separate yourself. Be higher. Be a higher vibration. Display higher emotions. Show compassion. Show wisdom. Show knowledge. Show them unity. Show them love. You'll make a difference. That's our advice. Hopefully you'll listen. Hopefully you'll use it. You can make a difference. But you'll make a difference by being different and not adhering to the same policies of those who are violent by nature. Thank you for listening. Bye. Okay, I'm back. Well, that was interesting. I didn't think they were going to go there. I thought they were going to leave that subject alone. But it makes a lot of sense. And I was thinking of Gandhi and Martin Luther King and some others who resisted violence. And they were kind of reminding me of that, resisting violence through peace. But they did make the point, though, you have to defend yourself. You don't necessarily have to be put in a position to be damaged physically and emotionally. Okay, enough of that. Let's get back to what we're talking about. We'll let that one flow. Let that one go. I'll come back into the reality here. We'll talk about past lives. And I got a few more minutes if anybody wants to call in and will they want to review a past life or they want to talk to an ancestor. We'll do that. You know what I just told you, what Spirit just channeled through me? I have to admit it kind of emotionally really, really affected me in the sense of, wow, yeah, okay, not easy. The answer is it's not easy sometimes to do that, is it? It's not, it's because our society is so geared towards the other. Okay, let me give you some articles. Let me get into, this is 10 outstanding cases of detailed, verified past life memories. Now, Epoch Times is where this was found. And the cool thing about this is that the names here, some of them just are something I'm not very comfortable with, so I'm going to try to use the names. But we'll go from there. Dr. Eli Lashish, who is best known for his medical work in Gaza as part of the Israeli government operation, studied the case of a three-year-old boy who lived near the border of Syria and Israel. The boy said he remembered being killed with an axe in his previous life. He was shown village elders where his body, he showed village elders where his body was buried, where the murder weapon was buried, and he identified his killer. That's pretty specific, isn't it, from a past life to come back as a three-year-old. And this is where I died in a past life before. This is where I was buried, and this is the person that used the axe. A body with a head wound was indeed found in the spot indicated. The axe was found, and the killer admitted he had. And that in itself is an amazing. How would this three-year-old boy know? I mean, you know, obviously, no. How would he know? How would he know that? Because he was not of the same family. He was a different family. Okay? Boy remembers wife and killer of past life, finds them again. A young boy born in Turkey, and I'm not even going to try to mention the name or the place. As soon as he could talk, he said his name was Selim Vasai. His mother had a dream while she was pregnant, which a man appeared who identified his name as Salim Vasai, who had a bloody face. Now we get it. So the mother, before this little boy was born, said that this name came to him, this person came to him, whose son now later on identifies as who he is. Okay. A man by that name had died in a field in a neighboring village in 1958. He had been shot in the face and the right ear. The boy was born with a deformed right ear. Now, we're talking about the little three-year-old boy that said, this was my name from before, right? When he was 4 years old, he walked to Vasai's home and told Vasai's widow, "I am Salim, you are my wife." He remembered the intimate details of their life together and names of their children. He also identified the man who shot him. This case was studied by the late Dr. Ian Stevenson of the University of Virginia. I present these stories, and I think they're really fascinating. And if you have any doubts about past lives and that you live many, many lives and you came back, these children and their stories are amazing, and well, and not just children, but of lives remembered. Here's another one, and it's time if anybody wants to call in. And okay, so I'll pop back and forth to see if anybody wants to get a message from your ancestor, or if you want to review one of your past lives that might be significant in this lifetime. We'll go there. Okay. So let me get back to the story. Fire Chief was Civil War General. Retired Assistant Fire Chief Jeffrey Keene felt explicitly overcome with emotion and strange physical sensations when he visited the site of the Civil War Battle of Antietam as a tourist. When discussing these sensations later, the words "not yet" appeared strongly in his mind. He took a new interest in the Civil War, and while flipping through a magazine on the topic, the words "not yet" in quotation marks jumped out at him. General John B. Gordon had emphatically repeated "not yet" while holding his troops back at the battle of Antietam. The physical resemblance between himself and Gordon struck Keene. And they have a picture here. And they, you know, the two pictures, they look very similar. Okay. The older one, beard. Yeah, they both had beards. Well, I'm not going to go into the whole description of these two people. The physical rims. Okay. Furthermore, many Keene's fire crew seem to resemble people who fought for Gordon. Keene discovered other similarities between himself and Gordon, including birthmarks on his body where Gordon had been injured. Okay. So this case was investigated. Simic, Dr. Walter Simic, a psychiatrist who worked through the Institute for Integration of Science, Intuition, and Spirit. We'll do a couple more, but I keep flipping back to see if anybody wants to talk to me about whatever's going on in your particular life. Okay. And I have some other stories. Okay. Child, I like this one. Okay. Child remembers past life as World War II pilot, ID'd vessel, and crash site. Ooh. Dr. Jim Tucker of the University of Virginia studied the case of James Leninger of Louisiana, who was 2 years old and began having nightmares of crashing in a plane. He said he was shot down by the Japanese, that his plane took off from the Natoma ship, and he had a friend named Jack Larson. He also checked out that his name was James in his previous lifetime. Now, notice here, he's starting at 2 years old. I mean, this is pretty young. Now, a lot of these memories really come up when you're really young because you haven't kind of disassociated yourself from the spirit world yet. So you're carrying a lot with you, and you haven't created this filter system in your consciousness to block out. Because as you get older, you block this stuff out because you're in your life and you don't want to get sound strange and crazy. There was indeed a World War II pilot named James Houston Jr., whose life and death matched all these details. Leninger also was able to identify from a photograph the site where Houston's plane crashed. I love these stories, and I hope you appreciate these stories. I hope you kind of get a sense, and I hope you take the opportunity to investigate your own past lives, maybe through a regression, past life regression. If I can't do it for you, maybe you'll find a therapist or a hypnotherapist to do this for you. I mean, I recently did this for one of my Facebook friends who had this thing about the Alamo, the Battle of the Alamo. And I regressed him back to it. And going through the process of his death at the Alamo just gave him a lot of clarity and a lot of understanding and just kind of relieved some of the energy around him. So if there's things that you kind of bring up in your life and you don't know why these are coming up and they seem to be strange, it's not a movie you saw. It's not something I had one about the Old West where I kept seeing myself landing in the dirt shot. Okay. I didn't die, but I was shot. I didn't leave the body, but I was shot. So I was regressed to that lifetime. And then I realized that, and then I looked up the historical figures, the actual historical figure, and I found out that I was shot six times, but I didn't die. And so that, to me, that made a lot of sense and kind of put a little bit of closure on that scene of, oh, now I understand it. Now I get it. Okay. Maybe I don't like guns now because of then. Well, I had another life after that. We're back to guns again, right? Now I don't use guns. Death by fire in Chicago. Luke was 2 years old when he started talking to his parents in Cincinnati, Ohio, about a past life in which he had black hair, was a woman named Pam, and died in a building fire in Chicago after trying to escape by jumping out of the window. An African-American woman named Pamela Robinson had died in 1993 in a fire at the Paxton Hotel in Chicago. She had jumped out a window while the building burned. Luke's parents asked him what color of skin was his color of skin when he was Pam. He's Caucasian now. I guess this is fairly recent, but he replied without hesitation, black. His mother printed out several photographs of African American women, including one of Robinson. Luke pointed at the one of Robinson and said, "That's Pam. and Luke's story was told on the A&E Network's program, The Ghost Inside My Child. They have a, you know what, I should probably post this on Facebook. And if you're with me on Facebook, because you can actually watch the video from that TV show. So I'm going to post this on Facebook because I normally don't do that, but I thought I would do it anyway. And so if you're interested in reading these stories or actually going looking at the video from the A&E show, The Ghost Inside the Child, it's listed there. You can actually watch the video, hopefully, if it all they work out well, right? Okay, four-year-old remembers past life in Hollywood. Ooh, I like this one. I live close to Hollywood. There's the Hollywood sign. Ryan was 4 years old when he began talking about his past life in Hollywood, which he said ended when he had a heart attack. Okay. A book about Hollywood triggered other memories. He saw a picture from the 1932 movie Night After Nap, and he said he was friends with a man in the movie who was a cowboy and also an actor in cigarette commercials. Gordon Nance was the actor in this movie. He starred in Westerns and was a spokesman for Viceroy Cigarettes. Ryan identified a picture of his past life, a man named Martin. Ryan remembered correctly a scene Martin had acted in the detail and details of Martin's life, such as his time tap dancing on Broadway, his three younger sisters, and the color of his car. It's kind of interesting to explore these things and find out more about yourself. And just out of curiosity, you know, where was I in my past life? Because I've had some fascinations with things, and I always kind of find, why do I have such a fascination? For example, Art Deco, and I talked about this on Monday a little bit. Why is it? Why do I have such a fascination for the furniture and the Art Deco and the furnishings of the 30s and the early 40s? Why is that? So I went back to a past life, which started around 1912, I remember. Yeah. And all of that was part of that lifestyle of that time period. Actually, I died a fairly young life in that lifetime. As I remember correctly, it was shot. Okay, as a gangster. If you're interested in knowing more, I can tell you more. But so if you're interested in this sort of thing, let me know, because it's not only fascinating and interesting, but also it'll help you give you clarity in this lifetime of some of the events and some of the people in this life and how they relate to you. And you know, the flip-flop where your father was the mother and the mother was the father and all that fun stuff, the husband and the wife, and how you flip-flopped in different lifetimes. So let's do it. So I have one more maybe. Okay. This is a quick one, and I don't have a lot of time. A little boy named Lee insisted his middle name was Ko, and his birthday was June 26th, though this was not true. He said he used to live in Hollywood and that he had a daughter named Jennifer. He said he wrote movies. When his sister asked him how old he was when he died, he said 48. His family listed off movies, asking him if he wrote any of them, and he reacted positively with Gone and with the Wind, was mentioned. Sidney Cole Howard wrote the screenplay for Gone from the Wind. Howard had a daughter named Jennifer and died at 48, exactly like the boy said. So that's just another great little story about somebody remembering their past. So if you ever have any of those we call them bleed-throughs, where you remember something that's totally unrelated to anything that's going on in your life or any movie that you've ever seen, and you can remember names and situations, maybe we need to look at a past life and see if that comes up for you. And you might find it really fascinating and interesting and also benefit you in this particular lifetime in some ways. So I had fun today. I don't know if you did. I had fun channeling. I got to talk to a listener. And I don't know what we'll do tomorrow. We'll do something. I don't know if we'll go off in a whole different direction. I do like to channel every day for my spirit guides for you. So I'll do that, I'm sure. And they'll then talk to you about whatever they want to talk to you about. I'll give you a little bit more insights on my book that I'm writing. So I love you guys, and have a beautiful day. Have a peaceful evening, okay? Really, seriously, have a peaceful evening. Bye now.